Jesus our Savior, our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, our healer, and our soon coming King. Okay? We are not three square. We are four square. We do believe in healing. And we see a multitude of different healing methods used in the scriptures. Sometimes Jesus spoke the word. Sometimes he, that's right, spit and made clay of the spittle and anointed the guy's, one time it was his eyes. The next time the Bible says he spit and touched his tongue. Yeah, that is dramatically. There's a time where the Bible says that God wrought special miracles through the Apostle Paul, through the handkerchiefs and aprons. We're going to do that right now. This is, I just got a little bit of a prompting. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, and it says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them." I have seen this happen. I've seen this happen again and again and again. This was not limited to only Paul and his ministry. This was God working through Paul to accomplish his will for healing. Are we clear? One amazing testimony, and I share, when I was in Africa and I started learning about healing, one brother said that he took a piece of paper, a blank sheet of paper, put his hand on it, traced his hand, and faxed it to a family member literally a world away and said, "Take that paper, I'm with you on the phone, take that paper, lay it on you, and then lay your hands on that, and I'm going to pray laying hands on you from 1,000 miles away." And he was instantly healed. That's pretty cool. I want to pray right now for little sis. What's her full name? Rosetta. I know it's Rosetta, but Rosetta Ann Prowse. Kelly, let's anoint this with oil and pray over it. And Clint's over here praying in the spirit, and I'm all about that. I'm going to pray over this, and if you guys would, please lay hands over this. And if you would participate in faith, stretch out your hand, and if you would envision with me, as you are praying, power's coming into you, and you're releasing that into this handkerchief. I'm not making this up. You guys want to see a miracle? Okay. It comes into you. You're releasing this in faith, knowing that God is going to do something. Amen. Okay? The anointing will come into this just like it did in the Apostle Paul. When these were taken from him, they were placed on his body, they were taken from him, and wherever they went, they brought forth healing and deliverance. So let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray for your mighty healing power. Not only do I anoint this with oil, we're asking that you anoint this with healing power directly from heaven. Angels, come now. Bring this power into this. Not to make this anything significant or special, but this is only the vessel that you bring healing through. Father, I pray that where this goes, that it would bring healing and deliverance. Father, I pray for a miracle right now in Jesus' name. We pray. Our destination is Rosetta and Prowse. Healing, healing, healing. Wholeness, health, restoration. Foulness be done and gone. Use this to bring your kingdom glory. This is not us. This is you, God. All you. Activated through faith right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give that to Miss Jeannie, please? too. You guys, like, whoo, whoo. Thank you, God, for your great, great, powerful, mighty Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that your Spirit is second to none. Thank you, God, that you are supreme. You are ruler. We acknowledge you as our creator, as our sustainer, as our provider, as our redeemer. We acknowledge you as our savior, the lover of our souls. Thank you. Father, have your way in us. Let your will be expressed in our lives wholly, completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Golly, we could stop now and say we've had a wonderful church service. I don't think the Lord wants us to, but I love the fact that he can interrupt it. And if we live a lifestyle where the Lord is allowed to interrupt, you know, whenever he does that, he never has asked me, is this okay? Is this a convenient time? I've never had the Lord ask me that. You? Anybody? Hey, is this a good time? No, he says, hey, I got something. Let's go. We are followers. We're students, learners, children. Amen. So, all right, we've been talking for the last few weeks about something that the Lord has put this over, like a banner over us, is Matthew 6, 33. Guess what we're talking about today? That's right. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. You believe that, church?
Amen.
All right, pull that down. Let's try it again. Keep it down. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You got it? I pray and I hope that you guys are endeavoring to memorize this. Not every Sunday when we're coming together, but if you would, write this down. Put it on your mirror. Have your kids use your wife's lipstick. Come on. It'll be great. Maybe. Right. We tried it on the dog first. It worked, Mom. Now we got it on the mirror. Here you go. That's my kids. We got to watch them. We're wanting to be, for the last few weeks, I've talked about being kingdom-minded, kingdom-working, kingdom-ready. With all my heart, it is my heart, my heart's desire that we be thinking in line with the kingdom of God, that we be speaking in line, talking about the kingdom of God, that our actions look like we're actually believing this. That the Bible is true, that Jesus is real, that this thing is for real and it's going to happen. Not only that, but we're actually ready for his return. I would love to say, how many of you are ready? And everybody would raise their hands. But in reality, if you do a gut check moment, I'm sure every day it's a struggle, it's a fight. Now who's with me on that one? It's a fight. You know, the Bible actually talks about this fight. It's called the good fight of faith. You've heard of it. Good. This is very important that we understand this. The Bible says that this is the good fight of
faith.
The good fight of
faith.
Come on, the good fight of
faith.
Did you know that that's the only fight that a Christian is called to fight? Think about that. What is that fight? It is your beliefs. What you believe, your faith. So as we're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, we need to be making sure that our faith, and it's going to be a fight. How many of you have found out maybe this week, or yea, verily, verily, this morning, that it's a fight? Your beliefs. Me and Kelly found that out. We had, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You married. The two shall become one flesh. Yeah, right, Lord. Are you kidding me? Her? Him? Whatever? And it's not easy. But we fight for each other. Amen. Not with each other. No, we fight for each other so that when we come back and we're fighting with each other, we're fighting together with each other. You understand what I'm saying? So this is, again, this is the good fight of faith. Now, how does that apply to our daily walk? How is this message series so far? We're at number 5, by the way. How has this message series impacted the way that you live out your daily life? And don't answer that, but I want you to think about this. This is now like the 5th or 6th time we've talked about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How has that affected your life? How has me coming up here and saying, seek first the kingdom of God? And if you walk out this for 5 weeks and don't start to make some adjustments, I'm going to take you to lunch. We'll talk. Why? Because we have got to get this in us. This is going to be our banner over the entire year, unless the Lord tells me a different direction to go. This is, I believe, with all my heart, this is the direction that He wants us to go. Why? Because if His return is imminent, and I believe with all my heart that it is, if it is imminent, meaning soon to happen, coming down the pike, then we have got to be ready. Well, what can you and I do? A lot. We can do a lot. Get our value system. It's going to start in our hearts. Our value system to be realigned from the way of the world to the way of the Master. From the way of the flesh to the way of the kingdom. It doesn't happen overnight. But this is things we need to be thinking about. We need to be talking about. We need to be doing. And so that when He returns and we see our Jesus face to face. Yesterday I was at the wave pool. And I was doing the back, you know, back float. I was floating. I was just enjoying myself. Then they turned on them waves. I was quiet. I was enjoying myself. And I looked up. And you guys know what I'm talking about, the bubble? I looked up. And it was orange. And I'm like, it's only like 3 in the afternoon. Kind of an orange. Maybe it was the sun with a cloud, or I don't know what it was. But I thought to myself, what if that's Jesus? And I'm in here doing the backstroke. I'm about as ready as I'm going to be. In other words, guys, I'm trying to live my life in such a way that if He comes now, or 3 hours from now, or 6 days from now, I can stand in confidence knowing that I am ready as I can be. And if you have to go and clean up your house before the Lord gets there, Mr. Zacchaeus, then you ain't ready. And it's time that we make some adjustments now. Amen? Amen. Has anybody ever had company? Should be like all of us, right? Now, who's had unexpected company? And we have found in our lives, in our home, that whenever we have company over, we have an event coming down the pike. Man, woo, every dish is in place, napkins are out, carpets are vacuumed, you know, the floors are mopped. Dadgum, even the fan on the ceiling's been dusted. That's my job, I'm tall. Okay? And our place is ready. But dadgum, Tony comes over in the morning sometimes, and we got kids all over the place. The dog peed on the carpet again. We got toys. We got half-eaten breakfast, still cooking. Like, this was cold, throw it back on, and then walked out the door and forgot about it kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And we're at the point now where we're just like, Tony, we're a wreck. Come on in. You know, come on in. Chad, come on in. Whoever it is, come on in. We're a mess. But we've also learned how to balance those two. So we keep, years ago we were introduced to a concept called keeping short accounts. Do you guys remember what I'm talking about? Keeping a short account. That means when you blow it and you miss it, don't go weeks before you repent. No, before the sun goes down. That is your goal. And if it happens sooner, awesome. But before the sun goes down, you try and rectify this situation. If you sinned against man, you give them a call. Or you go knock on their door. I'm sorry. Let's get this thing patched up. Okay? If you sinned against God, what does that mean? You don't go a week or a month. No, you keep a short account. Before the sun goes down, you say, all right, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it again. Okay? So keeping short accounts. How does that relate to the whole carpet being vacuumed? I'll tell you how. When you go a month without vacuuming your carpet, we got dogs, okay? That's a mess. But when we keep a short account, it's not so bad. You understand what I'm saying? The entire house isn't destroyed. It's just a little mess here that could quickly be dealt with, quickly, at the drop of a hat. What does that have to do with seek ye first the kingdom of God? Everything. Everything. When we're seeking God first, when we're putting His things first, we're not allowing everything else to come in and wreck our lives and wreck our homes, wreck our attitudes or our atmospheres. Keeping a short account. When those things do come in and they make a little mess, it's only a little mess. We keep a short account. Why? Because when my king comes, and it will be a surprise, when he, not that he's coming, but when he comes, everybody's going to be like, ooh. You guys want to like think about this for just a moment. Go on Facebook. Go on YouTube and type in a search for I dreamed of Jesus' return. You're going to get thousands of hits. And what's amazing to me is these people are claiming these dreams are happening more and more frequently. I don't believe every single one of them. But if half of them were true, the message is always the same. Go tell my people I'm coming soon. Amen. It's always the same. And I'm like, if this is for real, then we better be sure that we're taking this message serious. Go tell my people I'm coming soon. Get ready. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Kingdom-minded, kingdom-working, kingdom-speaking, kingdom-ready. We want to put the kingdom of God first place in our lives. We want to realign our value system to His. Okay? I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 because there's a principle we looked up last week. We brushed up against that. Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10. You ready? There it is. New King James. Now in this manner, therefore, pray. Jesus is speaking. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We talked about that word hallowed. Holy, sanctified, set apart. Not common usage, but holy. Usage. Amen?
Amen?
That means we don't cuss and curse and we never use the Lord's name in vain, which means a whole lot more than one or two cuss words. It literally means any and all cuss words. Buckle down on that. We're working on that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Verse 10. This is where we're at. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's unpack this. Your kingdom come. We're told to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, right? Are we under orders or what?
Yes.
Okay. This is our task, and I pray that you're taking this serious. Jesus is saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I got so many scriptures flying at me right now. Help me, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I asked the question last Sunday. Everybody would raise their hand and say, I want God's will for my life, right? You want God's will for your life? You want, raise your hand if you want God. God, I want your will for my life. There was a second thing that we looked at, and it was found in verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Amplified Translation says, his way of doing and being right. So we're looking at God's will and God's way. And I want to spend some time kind of unpacking that today. The more I'm studying this, like the longer my notes list is getting. Like it's insane. The more I'm studying this, the more I'm seeing a huge overlying theme for literally every concept, precept, principle, topic in the entire scriptures. You want to talk about faith? I could talk. We could preach that right into seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. You want to talk about giving? I can guarantee that that is a very big part of this. You want to talk about serving? Whew, don't even get me started. That is going hand in hand what Jesus said. You need to put this first in your life. What's that? Everything concerning God and his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
So we're looking at God's will and God's ways. All right? God's will and his ways. Last Sunday, Pastor Kelly spoke on women in leadership ministry. Yeah? You guys enjoy that? I enjoyed that thoroughly. I am very honored and glad that we're part of a denomination that strongly believes in the fact that God is totally at liberty to use whomever he wishes, regardless of gender. Amen. I love that. I love that. I'll be honest, I need the help. Not only do I need the help, she needs the help.
Amen.
We can get behind this woman. We can get behind these women. And champion the cause that God is working through them.
Amen.
We can and we must. Because this is God's will. This is his ways. We're going to look at God's will and God's ways today a little bit more in depth. I got a couple scriptures we're going to look at. Two in Psalms. Psalms 127 and then Psalm 105. Incidentally, Psalm 105 was part of the reading for this week on your Bible reading plan. Are you guys following along with that? I hope you are. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you if you're not. But I'm going to ask you, please, would you take the reading of your daily scriptures, would you take and make that a priority? Why? I don't know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I mean, hello. Are you with me? All right, so Psalm 127. I'm going to read verses. Well, let's just go ahead and read the whole chapter, shall we? Incidentally, that's 1 through 5. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones. This part's too good to leave off, so Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Evan's about to get another arrow. Love it. You maxed out, you bet. But here's something that we're talking about, God's will and God's ways, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God. We're looking at God's will and God's ways. Pull up verse 1 again. Useless. Worthless. In vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Now, don't answer this because you're going to answer from a religious mindset. Don't do this. Question is, did they get the job done? The answer, contrary to a religious mind, is yes, they actually did. Can you do something for God without God and get the job done? Yes, you can. But the Bible says it's in vain. That's the difference. Look at this again. Look real close. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Did they get something built? Yes. But for what? Nothing. Why? Let's ask that question. Can we? Shall we? Why? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How is it that they didn't get the job done? Because God wasn't in it. They didn't put God first. Are you with me? Look at this. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Can you put up a guard on the wall? Absolutely. But when you're not putting God first, listen, buddy, you're guarding this thing in vain. Look at in verse 2. Are you guys with me? Are we doing okay? I know that I'm kicking you right in the religious side right now. No, you can't build nothing without God. Want to bet? Tower O' Babel? Hello. And the list goes on. Trust me. Here we go. It is useless for you to work so hard. This goes from not just a corporate mentality, but now let's bring it down to an individual mentality. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for what? Food to eat. Is working for food wrong? No, there's actually Bible passages that talk about, hey, you eat by the sweat of your brow. If you don't work, you don't eat. Hello, you with me? But the goal in this sentence is not the kingdom of God. The goal in this sentence, anxiously working for food to eat. It's not food. It's satisfying your appetite. Well, I'm not really a food kind of guy. Okay, I got you. I got you. You're a motorcycle kind of guy. You're a boat kind of guy. You're a fishing kind of guy, a vacation kind of guy, a house kind of guy, a gun kind of guy. Why do you got to go and pay that? Why do you go for the 9 to 5? Why are you spending so much of your time when your appetite is what you're feeding? And the scripture says it is useless. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for your kingdom. Do you see this? I'm not making this up. This is in your Bible. For God gives rest to his loved ones. Here's a little side note. Who are the blessed ones? Does God love us all? Okay. Is everybody blessed though? No. Who are the blessed ones? The doers of the word. Why would we do the word? Because we love God. Why did I, this morning we stopped. Hey guys, guess what? We're not here to like sport our new, you know, yay, I'm here. We're here to actually say, God, I'm here for you. You remember that part? All right. seems like we're doing some hard plowing. All I'm trying to say, guys, this is a very practical way that we can realign our value system. Why do you go to work? Why do you go and make a paycheck? Why? Well, you're messing with my mind. You're messing with my culture. I mean, duh, pay bills. I mean, duh, it's the thing to do. I mean, duh, Pastor, are you really that without? No, I'm really not that without. I'm asking you a very serious and sincere question. I'm going to share a story with you, and I love this story. It's a phenomenal story. It'll really change your life if you stop and think about this for just a moment. There was a multi-billionaire. He lived up in New York City, and he had a huge corporation. Made gobs of money. One day he's like, I'm going to go on a vacation. I'm going to go do some fishing. I hear fishing in Florida this time of year is amazing. So he, at the drop of a hat, goes, gets on his private little jet, flies clear down to Florida. But he don't know anything about fishing. So he's asking around. He's stopping by different places, stopping to talk to travel agents. He's saying, I want to find the guy or one of the guys that's like the best at what he does. I want to go fishing. And everybody kept coming back saying, this young man, he knows fishing. He knows fishing like the back of his hand. I mean, nobody will catch a fish, and he'll come back with a boatload. This guy knows fishing. He says, that's the guy. So he goes up to the guy. I'm here. I would like to charter your boat. And the guy says, all right, great. Let's do this. So he gets his boat ready. He goes out, and they have an amazing time. He just says, what kind of fish are you looking for? And he starts popping off these, that, this, that. He said, well, let's try this bait. Boom, brings it exactly in. Trophy-sized fish. One after another. Different fish. This kid knows his business. This billionaire gets back and he says, that was one of the funnest fishing trips I have ever been on in my life. I'm looking at your boat, though, going, dude, like, you know, don't mean any disrespect, but it's got rust and holes and, you know, I mean, it's just not the best in class. What's the story, man? You know, with your skills, your knowledge, you could train some other people. Here's the question. I love this answer. The young man said, and then what? And then what? And the guy said, okay, well, once you train some other people, you could probably buy a second boat, crew up, get out there, bring in twice as much money. And the guy says, and then what? Okay. And then you could start a small LLC, you know, really start bringing in some money. And he says, and then what? Okay, then you could go to a corporation. You could really get some boats in the water. You could bring in some money. You could bring in all kind of clientele. This could become a world-class fishing, you know, trip right here. And the guy said, and then what? This businessman's getting a little bit frustrated. He says, I don't know. And then you could probably go up to Wall Street, start opening up some, what Wall Street? Wall Street, opening up some shares. Build a corporation, just like I'm doing. And the guy says, and then what? He goes, and then you could, I don't know, sell this thing for billions of dollars. And then he says, guess what he says? And then what? And the guy says, I don't know, probably retire, buy a little fishing boat, move down to Florida. There's truth in that, guys. Seek first the kingdom of God. We can get so busy chasing our tails in life. How many of you found that out? Money is a really rotten taskmaster. It can really mess with your life, right? I remember this old saying, too much month at the end of the money. Buddy, you're not a tither and a giver. I can guarantee you that. Why? Because God brings you up. I'm talking about God's will and God's ways. when we're doing our 9-to-5, when we're pushing in the job, whose kingdom are we building? And this is a challenging question. Why are you doing this? Some of you, I've been in this position where I'm like, I loathe my job. Does anybody know the definition for loathe? I mean, let me give you a visual definition. Right? I hate it so much. Why? I actually made the most money in my entire life. I had a dream job many years ago. I was flying. I got to fly a helicopter to work every day. Who's done that? Yeah. Once I got to the job site, I got to mess around on a four-wheeler wherever my heart would take me. And that's not all. And I was literally on top of the world. Literally. I was up above the Kobuk River, up above the Arctic Circle, up in Alaska underneath the North Star watching the Aurora Borealis. And that was my day. Oh, but there's more. I had a chef working for us to make you whatever your heart's desire. Yeah. I made so much money. I made gobs of money. How many of you know that money comes and money goes about as fast, right? Anybody? Come on, let's be real. We're up in church. Money comes, money goes. My dad was sharing a story this past week with Tony. He says, yeah, there was a time where $5,000 came in. A month later, nobody knew where it was at. Yeah. $5,000. Hi. Oh, bye. I didn't even get to say goodbye. Right? And in this place, on top of the world, making all this money, riding helicopters to work, literally hanging out the helicopter, taking pictures of grizzly bears. Literally, still got the pictures. We were at a camp job. I was working for a drilling organization. We were looking for gold, and we found gold. We're making lots of money. I got paid in one 24-hour time frame over 30 hours. How do you do that? I don't know, but it worked good. It looked good. And you know what's funny? At that particular 24-hour time frame, I don't think I worked 3 hours. And I made a lot of money. And I don't know how it worked, but all that to say, I was super blessed. But in all that money with a dream job, a guy catering to our every whim, you want lobster? I can make lobster, 5-star chef lobster that'll blow your mind. He made oatmeal cookies. Oh, glory to God. Manna from heaven. You know what I'm talking about? Like, whoa, that's an oatmeal cookie. Oh, I mean, the things that he could make was phenomenal. And in the middle of all that, I was hurting inside. And I loathed my job. Yeah. I hated it. All that money? Helicopter ride, man? Come on. People pay for that. You get to get paid to do that. Four-wheelers? Are you kidding? A dream job. They were handing us money. You got paid every day per diem if you didn't work. And you got paid per diem when you did. You got money any which way. And I was broken inside. And I said, God, I had a moment with God. This is my Alaska trip. I'm going to show you guys something. I was there for 1 month up above the Arctic Circle. I'm getting real with you right now. 1 month of my life. I didn't have a TV to watch. I didn't have cell phones. I didn't have nothing. I didn't have a book. I took my Bible. And you can now see for the rest of my life that 1 month. You see that black mark? That's the entire New Testament with driller fingers. With gold dust. You guys see that? Yeah, my Bible's old. It's got a scuzzy zipper starting to bust out on me. But I can tell you where God got a hold of me again. With that black mark, that ring. I'm making all this money. Lots of money. In Alaska, they didn't hold back sales tax, so we made lots more money. But I remember this like it was a week ago. I was up on top of the mountain, and I was on a four-wheeler, and I'm looking up at the Aurora Borealis. And I watched the sun rise over this mountain range like this. It'd come up, circle the sky, and go down over the same mountain range. Coolest thing I've ever seen. Sun go in a circle. Like we are over here going, yay! Actually starting that side, yay! Right? But I saw the sun rise and go down. I remember getting there thinking, man, I'm up in Alaska. And they just told us that we're up above the Arctic Circle. And where's the North Star? And I'm all looking. Oh. Right there. Straight up. Coolest thing. And I'm on top of this four-wheeler, on top of this mountain, watching the Aurora Borealis. Sun's, you know, the stars are right up above me. And I'm crying out to God. And I said, God, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? One of the hardest things he's ever said to me, his son, I didn't call you to this. I did not call you to this. All this money, all this stuff. And I said, God, where did I miss it? If you didn't call me to this, why am I here? Why am I so blessed? I'm blessed. I got hired on with this same crew of guys, 8 or 10 guys. And I'm like one of the last guys left from that original hire. People wait in line for years to come to this Alaska job. I hadn't been with that company even 1 year. And they asked me to go. That's favor. I don't care how you slice it. That is favor. And I knew that. I knew that that was divine favor because the guy that asked me to go didn't even like me. How do you know that God's in it? When the people who are up against you don't like you, saying we'd like to give you an opportunity that other people really, really want, and we're going to give it to you, and I don't even like you. Picking myself up, yeah, I'll go. I don't know, sure. And I'm praying, God, if you didn't want me here, then why am I so blessed here? Why have I received favor? And he said, I told you in my word that if you would work as unto the Lord, I will bless the work of your hands. I have done that for you. Why? Because I always sought God. But here, I'm missing it big time. And I said, God, why? How'd I miss this? He said, son, I didn't call you to this. Ouch. Okay. So what now? What now? He goes, this isn't for you. And he showed me back to Price, Utah. No, 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 Lord. No, no, no. Hold up, hold up. I'm thinking more like, I'll suffer for Jesus in Hawaii. I'll do it. I'll do it. I really will. You want me to go someplace exotic? I'd love to see the land down under. And I'm thinking, yeah, Australia would be awesome. You know, where they got them boomerangs where they go. And God's like, yeah, yeah, that's what you'll be. A boomerang. You come right back to Price. No, 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 no. Lord, you don't understand. I made it out. I was born in Price. I've now seen other parts of the world. Been to Africa. Spent some time over there. Hung out. It was great. Dug some wells. Lived through it. Live to tell the tale. If you've been to Africa, you understand that is life and death digging a well. Why? Because wells collapse on people. And we were deeper than a lot of other places that were collapsing. A lot deeper. And I lived to tell the tale. But I lived to see this. And then I thought, God, I feel like a paddle ball. Pew! Yay! Oh, no. Pew. Yeah. Price, Utah. And I fought that because I wasn't quite prepared. I knew that God's will for my life was back here, but I wasn't quite ready. If Jesus would have came back that week, I would have went to heaven. But what would I have sacrificed? God's perfect will for my life. Are you with me? When I'm talking about seek first the kingdom of God, I assure you, it's an adventure. It's well worth it. And all these things will be added to you. I have a wife. I have wonderful kids, even though they act twerpish sometimes. I love them. I'm crazy about my kids. I got a dog. I got one that I'm really not real pleased with right now. He pooped last night and I stepped in it. And then I placed him nicely outside. I was very angry, but I placed him nicely outside. I'm thinking, go do your business. I'll be back in 20 minutes. 20 minutes later, couldn't find the dog. Midnight, literally, I'm out midnight running around in my pajamas. Asher, come here, you little twerp. Couldn't even get him. Would not come. I'm thinking, he's halfway down the block. I lost that dog. My kids are going to kill me. They like that dog way more than me. That dog likes them way more than me. I had to wake up Shelby because he'll respond to her voice. And I'm like, he's not even out there. We got to go check in the front yard. And she, Shelby, come help Daddy. I can't find Asher. She goes out there. Asher. Shelby, you got to go louder. Asher. No, Shelby, come on, call. He's probably a block away. You got to call. And that little runt come running out from underneath the deck. I'm like, you were there the whole time, 10 feet away, and I spent an hour walking around at midnight looking for you. It's funny, but in reality, guys, God has given me blessing after blessing after blessing. My heart is content. I have a four-wheeler. We got a camper given to us. The blessings of God have been added to us. But when I was out there chasing that money, oh, you know the story. Money came and money went. I ain't saying go quit your job. What I am saying, and you need to hear me, you need to make God first in your job. The reason that we go out there, we didn't even get to half of the passage that I was looking for. Pull back up Psalm 127, verse 2. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for yourself, for your appetite, for your kingdom, for your food. It is useless because you're doing it for you. Hear me. We'll end with this. You were placed on this earth at this time in this place not for you. Amen. What if God's will for your life and God's ways for your life were far bigger than you? What if God wanted to use you to rock this world? We don't have have time, I don't think. Well, we'll go through it really fast. You should have read it this week with Psalm 105. Do it real quick. Skip down. I had a whole bunch, but skip down to verse. This is talking about the whole God being with the children of Israel from when they was little tiny people, Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, to now a massive company of people living in Egypt. I want to skip down to verse. This is Psalm 105. Verse 17. I want to show you real quick. Are you doing okay? We'll be out of here in just a few more, like 2 minutes, okay? 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes? I'm trying to be way more mindful of our time. The idea is God's will and God's ways. God's will and God's ways. We want the will of God for our lives, then we must do it His way. All right? You with me? What is God's will? What is God's ways? Check this out. Let's call it verse 16. Psalm 105, verse 16. He called for a famine on the land of Canaan, cutting off its food supply. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them. Joseph, who was sold as a slave. In other words, sometimes you don't see the hand of God. Circumstance would say, yeah, life sucks. You missed it somewhere. Well, I could tell you, being on the top, that I was missing it. So circumstances aren't what determine if I'm missing the plan of God. Making money? I could be missing the plan of God. Being sold as a slave? You could be nailing it to the wall. You could be exactly what God is wanting you. How do we know? Check this out. He sent someone ahead to Egypt. Okay, next verse, verse 18. They bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar until, everybody say until. That's good news. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord, get this, tested Joseph's character. Then the Pharaoh sent for him and set him free, the ruler of the nation opening his prison door. Woo! This is God's will. This is God's ways. Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household. He became the ruler over all the king's possessions. One more verse. He could instruct the king's aides as he pleased and teach the king's advisors. Now, real quick, that has a footnote, and I'm going to dot that little footnote real quick. That little footnote says, verse 22, he could instruct, everybody say instruct. Instruct the king's advisors as he pleased and teach them the king and teach the king's advisors. I looked up that footnote. The footnote reads in the Greek or Syriac version, it means to bind or to imprison. We would say to teach them a lesson, to instruct them, right? To teach the king's aides. Who? Potiphar. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 1, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was a captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. You guys remember what happened? Potiphar's wife said, Joseph made eyes at me. He made a pass. He tried to seduce me. Liar. The Bible says that God was testing his character. How do we know that Joseph passed? Because he was released by Pharaoh, and when he had the opportunity back in Psalm 105, verse 22, when he had the opportunity to teach him a lesson, he did not. No bitterness was found in Joseph. I'm talking about the will and the way of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Joseph, slave, rose up in Potiphar's house, thrown down to the dungeons, and God in one day changed his situation and circumstances. Talk about fast track. And I love this because Joseph recognized at the end of his life, he said, God sent me here to save our people. That's God's will. That's God's way. What about you? When you're in your place of employment and it's awful, one, you could miss it, and we do sometimes, check it out with the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. Two, maybe he's got you there. The circumstances aren't great. Then you need to press into him and he will change these things for you. Why? Because you're putting his kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen?
Amen.
I hope this blessed you. I'm sorry that we're a few minutes late. Let's pray together, shall we? We'll be dismissed. You guys get anything out of this today, I hope?
Yes.
All right, I didn't even preach half of my sermon, but whatever. It was the right sermon today. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your great grace and your love. Father, as we are endeavoring to realign our hearts, our value systems to your value system, to seek you first, to put you first in every aspect of our life, Father, I pray that you would lead us and guide us. Let it be by your word and by your spirit that we walk through this victorious, that we don't miss it. Father, we look to you, Father, on how we can seek you first in our jobs, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families. Father, we seek you first, your will, your ways. Forgive us, God, where we miss it, like with the dog last night. Forgive me, Father. Forgive us. Father, we want your will for our lives, and we want to do it your way. We say these things in the precious, mighty, holy name of Jesus.